And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, text lines are indeed open, and a bunch of y'all already figured that out. So 833-687-4448. Text it or call it. That's the same number for both. 833-68-RIGHT. I'll grab a few of these. Tracy from Athens says, oh my gosh, we had the Stricklands at Huntsville High School. Huge family, 10 kids. Wow, yeah. So I don't think anybody would mind me saying that that my friend, I'll just go ahead and say their names. It was the O'Hallorans at Grissom High School. And I guarantee you, some of y'all out there knew the O'Hallorans, or you had an O'Halloran in your high school. What a wonderful family. And Danny O'Halloran was a friend of mine in high school. We graduated together. And yeah, 15 kids, man. I mean, I remember when the first time I stopped by Danny's house one day, and he lived not far from Grissom High School, the old Grissom. And the youngest child was still on a tricycle in the driveway, and the oldest pulled up in his own car, 30-something years old, with kids of his own. I'm like, that's 30 years of having kids. Can you imagine? 30 years of having kids. Anyway, wonderful family. Skip from Tony says, thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing, Phil. That was as refreshing as it was delightful. It reminded me of what used to be commonplace mostly everywhere, and more importantly, never take those you care about or love for granted, because they can be gone with the wind in a flash, and often when we least expect it. Skip from Tony. Appreciate you, Skip. And then what else we got here? Yeah. JT Lacey Springs sent me a meme, and yonder meme says, in the 1940s, the males faked their age to fight in World War II. In 2023, males pretend to be females so they can win at sports. That's sad, but sort of true. Raven from Russellville, very good thing. All caps, very. It's a very good thing for the bureaucrats. I don't have young children. Enough said. I hear you, bro. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, another great monologue and a call to action. I was thinking about the same Bible verse. They will call right wrong and wrong right, Isaiah 50, 20 through 21. Also says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. As they deceived and make up their own rules and definitions, they also seem to break them as fast as they make them up. Stay in the fight. Thank you, TL. Appreciate you as always, brother. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, you have to get this cartoonist to make a cacistocracy cartoon. We should. I need to commission him to do some right side stuff, like what a cacistocracy cartoon would look like, or a jackassery, or Adventures in Woke World, or something.
Yeah.
I could see it.
I agree.
Okay, John from Huntsville. Phil, awesome monologue. Happy Taco Tuesday. Did you see where it said that Joe Biden was ranked as the 14th best president of all time and Trump is ranked dead last? Yeah. In what listing was that? I mean, good Lord. If it's true, he says, and somehow my neighbor's cat got elected as president, I know for sure it would at least be the 13th best president of all time. It's unreal. Skip from Tony again says, incidentally, my mom was one of the 18 kids. Oh, no kidding. That's awesome. That's good. And then I got one who did not tell us their name, I think. Says, I work with Liz and Barb at Delivery. Oh, Delivery Stable. I used to love Delivery Stable. My buddy Tom Seja delivered for Delivery Stable. I used to go riding with him. I deliver for Domino's and also for Bishop's Flowers in the mall. But Delivery Stable was awesome. They used to do crew pies. They'd say, crew pie. And next thing you know, we were stopping by to grab a piece. And yes, I think Liz and Barb did work there. And then Raven from Russellville says, we need a jackwagon t-shirt. Yes, we do. You know what we need is an entire right side wardrobe. Yep. I have a new batch of t-shirts coming in, by the way, but we are so overdue. We need to design like several, because lately we've had like one in stock or something like that. It's time to get some merch going. I just feel it. I feel it in my bones. All right, listen, we're about to take a break. We're going to come right back. First thing out the gate is number one of the Triple Dipper, God Made a Farmer. Y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, the folks that feed us, and I'm talking about row croppers and cattle farmers and poultry, all of them, the folks that feed us right now have probably got more weighing down their ability to do what they do from the government than ever before. And it's getting to the point that it is almost like it's designed to ruin the family farm. We're talking about generational farmers, people who have been row cropping the same land that their dads and granddads were on. That's still out there. Those family farms are still there, but they're becoming fewer and further between. So we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to give you an idea of some of what it, you know, takes these days to have a family farm, and what can happen when the government weighs in. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So I'm doing this section, God Made a Farmer. And I did not even realize when I was putting it together, because it just, something sparked a memory. This thing that Paul Harvey did called God Made a Farmer. And he did it back in November of 1978, by the way. And I'll read you a part of it here in a minute, but God Made a Farmer really resonated. I mean, it blessed people, and especially those in the farming industry who felt like somebody got it. And when you're in agriculture or agribusiness, there are times these days when the burdens of the government almost make it seem like the government resents you doing what you do. And you know, the truth is, if you go to the store and you buy some tomatoes, thank a farmer. If you go down to Burger King or some other fast food joint and you buy a burger and there's beef in it, thank a farmer. If you are, heading down to Waffle House, getting some scattered and smothered, and you got a side of scrambled eggs, you know, with cheese, poultry, thank a farmer. All that to say, there ain't nothing that we do, for the most part, that does not have, in some way, the farm industry involved. Did you know in Alabama alone, just the poultry farming industry is a $1 billion industry just in Alabama. It's unbelievable. What I didn't know, by the way, when I was putting all this together and getting my thoughts in order and finding my resources was, so I guess it's timing. I guess, you know, every once in a while, God put something on my heart and I got to go with it. And then it turns out, bam, oh, that was timely. Yellowhammer News reports that as of yesterday afternoon, this is Future Farmers of America Week. I did not know this. I'll tell you, when I was in the state Senate, one of my favorite groups to hang out with were the folks from ALFA, the Alabama Farmers Federation. And you can go to the local federation. Every county, for the most part, has their local Farmers Federation gatherings. They were some of the best salt-of-the-earth folks. Like the ones in Etowah County, when I used to go and meet with them, they would literally say, did you bring Charlene with you? We're going to send a plate home, you know. Thank you. And it'd be like fresh sliced tomatoes and, you know, something off somebody's farm. And it was just the best, you know, homemade apple pie or whatever, just like salt of the earth, man. And I began to interact with kids who were in FFA, Future Farmers of America. That's big doings, y'all. Anyway, Future Farmers of America, this state right now, according to Yellowhammer News, this state is home to over 15,000 FFA members and has 267 chapters dating back to 1929. This week, the organization is celebrating National FFA Week to highlight the vast opportunities available for today's youth that are interested in being involved in agriculture. Agriculture and agricultural education. The National FFA, is a school-based youth leadership development organization made up of 945,000 student members around the nation, with 9,163 local FFA chapters throughout the U.S., Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. Sounds like I'm reading a promo, but that's really, it's an article from Yellowhammer News. But yeah, I'll never forget too, by the way, one of those moments I had where it felt kind of surreal and something happened and I was able to be there from the beginning. I was in my Senate office down in Montgomery, and the president of Auburn, Dr. Googe at the time, was sitting in my office and we're talking about something, I think budgets or something. And I said, Dr. Googe, I said, if you got a minute more, could I run something by you? And he said, sure. I said, have you ever seen the Gadsden State Community College campus in Cherokee County? And he said, I can't say that I have. And I said, well, it's absolutely one of the most beautiful two-year college campuses anywhere in the state, and it's completely underutilized, empty classrooms in some places. But it's all high-tech. It's built for everything. And he goes, okay. And I said, that's part of my district. And agriculture is a huge, huge deal in Cherokee County. It's one of the driving forces of Cherokee County. Cotton, corn, soybean, cattle, all of it. And I said, would you ever be interested in the idea of pursuing a possible partnership with Cherokee County's Gadsden State Campus in the Ag College for Auburn? Now, I thought what he would do was go, well, thank you, Senator. We'll have somebody get back to you. He looked at me and he goes, I would be very interested in doing that. He said, we just did one of those with Snead State. I said, did you really? He goes, yep. He said, can I get someone so to call you? And I said, yes, sir. They called me, and within about 2 or 3 weeks, we were setting up meetings. And y'all, right now, you can get the first 2 years of a poultry science degree at Gadsden State in Cherokee County. And if you want to, you can go on down to Auburn and finish it up and have a 4-year degree. First 2 years working the farm at home, the second 2 years at Auburn, 4-year degree. Did you know that in poultry science alone, and I was blown away. So that 1-year anniversary of the program, they had me come up for a celebration luncheon. And we heard about how it's going, all the successes. And the head of the Alabama Poultry Association was there. And I did not know this. He said, and he, like I quoted a minute ago, $1 billion industry. But then he said that they are in such need of people that every single kid who is in Auburn's poultry science program has an average of 6 job offers waiting for them on graduation. Like job offers, like, oh, you're graduating? Here's an offer. The average starting salary in poultry science with a degree from Auburn was $85,000. And it's a bidding war for these kids. And that's just cool. And you think, okay, I did not know this was even out there. I mean, I've got calluses on my hand, but, you know, I got a white-collar degree, so I didn't even have any idea. Well, in 1978, Paul Harvey, he wrote this thing called God Made a Farmer. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read part of it. It says, on the 8th day, God looked down on his planned paradise. He said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk the cows, work all day in the fields, milk the cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to rustle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs and tame cantankerous machinery and come home hungry and have to wait for his lunch until after his wife's done feeding all the visiting ladies and then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and actually mean it. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at a double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds, and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees the first smoke coming off his neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. And it had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners, somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake and disc and plow and plant and tie the fleece and strain the milk and replenish the feeder and finish a hard week's work with a 5-mile drive to his church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with strong bonds of sharing, who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says he wants to spend his life doing what his dad did. So God made a farmer. And y'all, right now, farmers who are literally breaking their backs every single day to get that last row done, to get that last bit of, you know, turn in the cattle on the field, to make sure they bring things in with the right season and get the land ready for the next planting and to get the poultry farms, you know, in order. They're facing more regulation, more burden, more downright government intervention than they've ever faced. And yet these are the people that if we go to the store and we can't find fresh produce on the shelf, we wonder who messed up. You know, when you go to the butcher shop, you're not looking at something the butcher shop created. You're looking at something the farmer got to the butcher. And that farm to market, that's a big, big deal. That is a huge piece of our economy. And the vast majority of Americans right now would not even know what to do if they couldn't buy their food at a store. And there's a lot of knothead kids out there right now that have no idea that the food comes from someplace other than Publix. So all I'm saying is, appreciate them for who they are. Now, I've got a piece that I wrote, and I wrote this 2 years ago, all right? I used to do Adventures in Woke World, and it wasn't just a series of of other stories. I used to write these skits, and I would read them out as part of Adventures in Woke World. And I wrote one called Joe the Farmer Meets the EPA. And I wrote it back in August of 21 when this show was only about a month old. So in a minute, when we come back from the break, I'm going to go ahead and read it for you. It's a skit. I play both the parts. It's a hoot, but it's designed to tell you about real stuff happening to real people that are out there doing a real job that we really need done. Joe the Farmer Meets the EPA. Just nuts. And then after that, too, by the way, I'll spend some time giving you the stories that are in today's news headlines. They'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. One of them is even called Farmageddon. Oh, my gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. God made a farmer. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, don't forget, coming up at 3:30, my buddy Scott Santis, who is one of the nation's best political cartoonists, syndicated in like 400 newspapers and all that, he'll be on with us at 3:30 for a little section I'm calling Cartoon World. Y'all stand by for that one. Let me do something now. All right, so before the break, I told you guys, then way back in the day, like how long ago? 2.5 years ago when I started this show. More than 2.5 years ago. Golly, man. That's hard to believe. In fact, this July, it'll be three years.
Yeah, I was going to say, hadn't it been like three years?
Good Lord. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so back in the day, I started doing Adventures in Woke World back in the day, which y'all know of now as a time when I get on the show and I tell you all the weirdness and the wackiness happening in places around the nation. But I used to do it different than that. So I used to actually write a script and like do a skit, and I'd call it Adventures in Woke World. I wrote this one in August of 2021. And it's called, Joe the Farmer Meets the EPA. So y'all stand by. Here we go. Excuse me, sir. I need for you to come down off that John Deere. What in God's name, sir? I almost ran over you. What are you doing on my land? This is private property. Sir, my name is Agent Blather. I'm with the Enforcement Wing of the Environmental Protection Agency. I'm here to serve you with a cease and desist order from any further disturbance of the land. Disturbance? What are you talking about, disturbance? My family's been farming here for over 100 years. What are you talking about, man? Sir, historical precedent notwithstanding, we've received reports of a possible sighting of a red-cockaded woodpecker within 10 miles of this location. In accordance with EPA Regulation 1022.95A, subparagraph X2, the sighting of such an endangered species constitutes legitimate grounds to order the cessation of any ground-disturbing activities. In your case, that would mean farming. I mean, a red-cockaded woodpecker. I don't even know what a red-cockaded woodpecker is. Well, sir, it's a bird with a red cockade and it pecks wood. Stop. I mean, how's my farm, sir? How's my farm, which has been delivering produce to markets for 4 generations, a possible threat to some kind of a bird? Well, sir, you appear to have a strong proliferation of longleaf pine in the area, and the red cockaded woodpecker suffers from habitat fragmentation when habitable pines are removed, and when large clusters of birds get split up, well, it's difficult for the young to find their mates. Eventually, that becomes an issue regarding species dispersal. Okay, look, I'm not taking down my longleaf pines, and your big words mean nothing to me, and what it tells me is you don't want me to prep my fields for the next seasons, even though I'm not taking down any of your precious woodpecker trees. Sir, in accordance with the regulations promulgated for the enforcement of the Endangered Species Act, the mere act of running your tractor in close proximity to the mating area of the red-cockaded woodpecker can disturb their mating habits. We need them to mate undisturbed, if you understand. All right, look. I need to get some row cropping done so I can pay my bills undisturbed. How about you get off my land? Sir, wait, what is that noise? Do you hear water? Well, yeah, you hear water. That's the irrigation system on my cornfield out back that I plan to harvest next week. Sir, where are you drawing the water from to run the irrigation system? Where am I doing what now? Drawing the water from a pump in the big pond over there on the Far Acres. Sir, shut down that pump immediately. I beg your pardon? I will not do it. You've lost your mind. Sir, Drawing water from a pond is a violation of the 2015 EPA rule that expanded on the Waters of the United States Act and also defined waters of the United States to include wetlands, ponds, lakes, oxbows, impoundments, and similar waters. You cannot disturb what may well be a water of the United States. Well, how about this, Mr. Government Man? That's a man-made pond. I dug it with a backhoe. That makes it a water of Joe the Farmer, as far as I'm concerned. And besides that, 2015 rule got repealed by President Trump. And the United States Department of Agriculture even gave me a loan to install the pond in the system. Sir, the rescission of the 2015 rule was repealed by virtue of the 1237th executive order from the Biden administration. Therefore, your pond, regardless of its origins, may not be used for irrigation systems. We have to protect the waters of the United States. They are our natural resources. Yeah, well, how about me, boss? Am I not a natural resource? I mean, where do you think all those food products you buy at the grocery store come from? I'm going to fight this. I'll go all the way to Supreme Court. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some dairy cows need tending. Sir, cows. Okay. You need to be aware the EPA is reviewing the possible promulgation of a new rule to protect the ozone layer from bovine flatulence. It is likely that within the next week it will be required that you install new systems and procedures for mitigating the harmful effects of bovine flatulence. Hang on. Bovine flatulence. Are you telling me cow farts are going to be regulated? I mean, have y'all lost your minds? Sir, studies have shown that a change in diet to a less fiber-intensive, low-protein form of sustenance can significantly reduce the effects of cow flatulence, and specialized biodegradable cow cloths may have to be installed and regularly changed as well. Wait. Hang on. I think what you just said to me is I need skinny cows that wear diapers. Well, that is absolutely not going to happen, Mr. Government Man. Sir, please understand that failure to abide by the cease and desist order regarding your farming operation, the continued use of your pond for irrigation, or the failure to install cow diapers may result in penalties, to include, but not limited to, fines, jail time, and the seizure of your land. Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, listen, at some point, you bureaucrats got to remember that people like me, we sustain people like you. You can't go to the store and even buy the things it takes to feed your family without farms like this one. Now, I'm sure the huge corporate-owned farms have some sway with you people, but I'm just a little old family farm, and we're going to fight this. You watch. Sir, you do not have reasonable grounds, nor do you qualify for an exception to a policy. Exception? Exception to a policy? You mean some farms qualify for an exception to all this gobbledygook you just quoted me? Well, I mean, certainly. Most recently, we've ensured that in order to promote international goodwill and fair trade, that any farms owned by Chinese government are exempt from EPA regulations, fines, and penalties. Well, that figures. Chinese get a break. All right, well, get off my land. Thank you for your time, sir. Also, if you feel in any way the fact that I may or may not have asserted my white privilege in speaking with you, you can call this hotline number and report possible discrimination claims to our 24-hour hotline staffed by contract employees from Black Lives Matter. Yeah, but you and I are both white. Well, we're from the government, and we are here to help. Ta-da! Can I have some applause on that one, please? Do I have any applause in the background somewhere in there? Just run me some applause.
That was good. I don't like Mr. Government Man. No.
Mr. Government Man, I'm going to tell you right now, old Mr. Government Man, he needs to meet the back end of a stick. Just saying. Just come on. But they do that. That's what farmers are going through right now. Every bit of what I wrote is based in some form of reality. Just...
had something to say every time. Something going on.
I can't tell you how many times military training has been destroyed by the red-cockaded woodpecker. No kidding. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times waters of the United States has become a thing. Like you got a stream, it's an intermittent stream, but now you can't do anything on your land because it might be part of the waters of the United States. Luckily, we did have a court deal on that one not long ago. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of farmers, but all that to say. Every bit of that spoof I just did was based in some form of reality. I took it straight out of the media to draft that script. All right. I broke out into a cold sweat doing that one, but here I am. I'm done, and I'm coming right back, and I got a series of stories that'll just match up with what I just read in that script. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, a couple of text messages real quick before I go on. John from Huntsville says, Phil, didn't you do those skits back when Copper from WVNN was part of the show? Yes, I did. I did. She was there with me in the beginning. And he also said, John did, says, you just earned a massive amount of extra credit points, and if Big Rig wants to catch up, he's got to do something amazing like playing some live guitar music or something.
I didn't bring my guitar, or else I would.
Lead, acoustic, bass, which would you play?
All of it.
Okay, all the above.
You'd hate me if I brought my guitar, because I wouldn't stop playing it. You'd tell me to stop.
Okay, at least you're not a drummer. JT Lacey Springs says, needless to say, farming isn't cheap. An insurance agent friend in the mid-80s shared a farmer had just paid his life insurance premium to cover the spring crop loan. The annual premium, $25,000. Wow. Raven from Russell says, by God, that hits the nail on the head, talking about my skit. He says, the government could kiss my butt after they wash their mouth out with some strong disinfectant. Just saying. And then Paula from Lacey Springs just said, applause. And thank you, Paula. I appreciate that. So the fact is that what farmers are going through right now is like some next level stuff. It's like nothing we've ever seen before. I got a story here from Fox News. This one came out 2 days ago. Fourth generation farmer blasts Biden admin for sending billions to Ukraine as U.S. farmers suffer. He points out that we literally have been sending billions of dollars to Ukraine, part of which is to help provide relief to Ukrainian farmers. He says, at the same time, everyone frowns when I say they should live up to their commitment for debt relief for America's farmers and stop farm foreclosures, which are happening at an epic rate right now. John Boyd Jr. is the guy who they're quoting. He's the president of the National Black Farmers Association. He told Fox that farmers are being crushed under the policies of President Biden and criticized the administration for sending millions to foreign governments while farms here in America are being foreclosed. He said, quite frankly, we're facing extinction here today. This guy actually farms up in Virginia, Mecklenburg County. He says the price of farmland rose nearly 8% just in 2023 alone, pricing many young farmers out of the markets. He said, we have beef cattle prices in this country. We're producing the lowest amount of beef for most countries, 82 million cows and calves. We're down 3%. We're producing 1 billion pounds less of America's beef than we did this time last year. It's because we're not investing in America's farmers, in this case, beef cattle. And he said, we're not investing in America's farmers, period. They can't hold on, so they're depleting their herds. And then he goes on to talk about several things that they're facing through government regulation. But then you got this one from April of last year. The American Farm Bureau Federation said that President Biden's decision to veto the Congressional Review Act, a joint resolution that would have overturned the EPA's overreaching waters of the United States rule, was a bipartisan bicameral effort by Congress. So, by the way, this we did have some relief last year. If you're not familiar, I've got two articles on this. Let me find the other one real quick. Okay, so I had it in my skit there a minute ago. Waters of the United States, it was actually a Obama-era ruling from the EPA that was just absolutely considered to be like a war on farmers. It was, I had this piece from January of last year from the American Energy Alliance. They said that during the holidays, the U.S. EPA and the Department of the Army, which is because the Corps of Engineers, issued a proposed redefinition of the waters of the United States under Section 401 of the Clean Water Act. Basically, what it did was what I was talking about in my skit, that it redefined what waters of the United States were, and it cannot just be navigable waters anymore. It can be that stream. It can be things that are upstream that affect things downstream. It can be, and I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like it can be the pond on your farm. And you can find out that shoreline where your cattle have been going up to near the river to water on a regular basis is now off limits, despite the fact that you've owned it and your family's used it for God knows how many years. Well, we did have a ruling. First of all, the EPA knew for a fact they were about to lose probably at the Supreme Court, and they were trying to jump in ahead under the Biden administration. They were trying to jump in ahead of the Supreme Court, and this was in April of last year. So in January, the first article I've got says that what we saw was a call for public comment, and they issued it during the holiday season. like nobody was going to pay attention. Hey, get it out there like during New Year's when nobody's paying attention. And yet we had a case, and they knew it. They had a case called Sackett versus the EPA that was moving its way through the Supreme Court processes. Meanwhile, April, a few months later, the Congressional Review Act was vetoed by the president. And that was an attempt, by the way, to get around some of what they thought the Supreme Court was about to do. Luckily, the Supremes came out, and they came out strong. So farmers got a little relief in June of last year when Sackett versus the EPA ruled and it repealed much of the Obama-era Clean Water Act overregulation that, by the way, Trump had done away with and then the Biden admin brought back. So this is an article from last year. It says, the ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court in Sackett versus the EPA has enormous ramifications for the nation's waterways. This is, by the way, a liberal article. And it goes on to say, enormous ramifications for the health of the nation's waterways. In fact, it wouldn't be hyperbole to call Sackett the most important water-related Supreme Court decision in a generation. It was a 9-0 ruling, by the way. It was unanimous. You cannot say, well, all the conservatives got together. No. A majority of the justices used the case as a tool for dramatically weakening the Clean Water Act. Well, the Clean Water Act was an overreach. But y'all, that's just like, that's just a drop in the bucket, no pun intended. How about this one from Reuters? Story that came out last Thursday. Last Thursday. We laugh and snicker when we talk about them trying to regulate cow farts. Well, how about this? The U.S. Congress members from both political parties are urging the EPA not to go forward with a rule that would require farms to report on the air emissions made from animal waste on their farm. I kid you not, y'all. They're trying to bury farms in paperwork. Says the EPA is officially soliciting public comment. This is the process they have to go through. When they propose a new rule, they're required to take public comment on it. That's why you have to pay attention. They suddenly drop things during the holidays. But the EPA is soliciting public comment on whether or not it should revoke or amend a rule from former President Donald Trump's administration that would exempt animal manure from an environmental statute. So the Trump administration, once again using common sense, came in and goes, okay, stop. EPA, you're not going to require farms to report the amount of animal waste on their farm. You're not. They exempted farms from that regulation. They reserved it for things like factories and that kind of thing. Oh, no. The EPA under the Biden administration, well, they're all for it. And so they're working right now to revoke the Trump ruling and say that pollution from animal waste is somehow sickening people in rural communities, and therefore we need to regulate it. We need a report from you. Let me ask you something. What does the government do with said report? Pray tell, what will they do with this? Well, let's imagine, if you will, that you're a farm that now has to report the cow manure on your cattle farm. And you've got no choice but to submit it because the EPA somehow gets away with a new rule. And so you do. Does it just become a report with no other, you know, life to it? Or do they also take a look at things like ESG governance on banking and insurance? And they go, you know, it appears to us, sir, that your reports indicate an increase in methane emissions from your farm based upon the amount of manure y'all have produced, and therefore we're not going to be able to give you that loan you need to float the next round of cattle purchases. The report is there for a reason, y'all. Don't think for a second that they're going to make farms report about manure just so they can have a manure file. There's a purpose to this. And the only reason why they would do it is so they can find a way to cut it back. And they can find a way to pass it on. I mean, if they have their way, we'll be eating crickets and lab-grown meat. That's where they're headed. So anyway, the National Beef Cattlemen's Association, the National Pork Producers, the American Farm Bureau Federation, and I'm sure a lot of the state federations, have all joined with members of Congress in asking the EPA to not go forward with this ridiculous rule. Y'all, the 2024 election cannot get here fast enough. Cannot get here fast enough. All right, we'll take a break right now. We take that break, we'll come back, and I'll put a lid on this one. But one of the articles that I've got tells you, by the way, how all this regulation impacts you as the consumer. Yeah, Daily Mail's got a piece that came out last week called Farmageddon, and it talks about how much you're going to spend. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, keep in mind, after the bottom of the hour break coming up in a little bit here, we'll have come back with a good friend of mine, Scott Stantis, who is a syndicated cartoonist. He's got an amazing just career. And we'll talk with him about what I'm calling cartoon world. So, by the way, just got a text from someone named Lee, and I assume Lee is from Huntsville. It says, just listen to your EPA spoof. Great job. We just left Costco in Huntsville, and due to extensive EPA regulations, Costco no longer sells propane. Costco completely removed the propane filling station. Wow, that figures. Because, you know, God knows, how did we get by all these years, you know, without the EPA involving itself in whether we could buy propane? Unbelievable. Jeff from Indiana says, sadly, the EPA, like all other government agencies, has outgrown its function. I think all government agencies should be under the jurisdiction of a new government agency called the Common Sense Agency. What we need right now. And the only way you can get appointed to that board is if you show you have some common sense. Oh, my gosh. The cacistocracy, the jackassery, all of it going on at one time. Marcus from Huntsville. I wonder how many emissions the high-tech lab-grown meat facilities put out running the running versus the lab, versus the raising of cattle. I'm also curious about how many cow farts Elon Musk burns up every time he launches Starship with his liquid methane fuel. So it sounds like cattle farmers are fueling our trip to Mars. You know, here's the thing. I didn't get into it much yesterday, but I did read that there is a clear indication. I think it's University of California did a study that said that these lab-grown meat facilities actually have a bigger carbon footprint than a usual cattle farm. Per capita, per pound of meat, basically. Brian from Decatur says, wow, so the EPA, just keep in mind, the EPA knew about Camp Lejeune's water problem for decades. I know because my brother has a suit going on. Wow. Yeah, there you go, bro. Selective indignation, I guess. Raven from Russellville. We got a case in the Supreme Court about Chevron deference, he says. Looks like we might win it. If we do, we'll put the brakes on a whole bunch of government regulation. If God didn't want us to eat meat, he wouldn't have made animals out of it. And then Badger from Athens says, you got to make sure that when you're buying land, you may not be aware you don't always get the mineral rights either. That's true. Speaking of land, story here on Daily Caller came out yesterday. A rancher is suing President Joe Biden over the creation of a national monument in Arizona that now blocks the use of nearly 1 million acres for mining and ranching. President Joe Biden created, get this, the Baj Nwajo Letak Hukveni Ancestral Footprints of the Grand Canyon National Monument in August of 23, last year, hailing it as a step forward in the effort to protect tribal lands. Pacific Legal Foundation has now filed a lawsuit to overturn that designation on behalf of a rancher named Chris Heaton. Heaton says he just wished the monument would go away. The president didn't have authority to do what he did, he says. With the flick of a president's pen, the proclamation has now exposed him to severe regulatory burdens and the threat for criminal penalties for engaging in everyday conduct on his ranch. Get this. One of the things is something called the Antiquities Act. Okay, what's that got to do with a farmer, a rancher? Well, he has several springs on his ranch. He has to remove tamarack trees around the springs to keep the roots from siphoning off the water. He can face criminal penalties now under Biden's new act. How about this? We've got them totally politicizing the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed by, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden. $18 billion in climate-friendly agricultural spending. Wow. Except that Reuters wants you to know, as of a couple weeks ago, hey, Republicans are messing with it. Hey, you don't want them to reallocate that. Do Republicans realize they're taking money away from Republican states? That's their take on it. They don't consider whether or not Republicans are going, hey, listen, that was a really bad piece of legislation, and now that we have the majority in the House, we're going to change some things. No, they go straight to the politics of this. Doesn't matter what it's doing to farms. Doesn't matter what it's doing with the USDA having new regulatory authority. Doesn't matter that it's billions of dollars that we don't actually have. Their question is, hey, are Republicans aware they're hurting Republican states with that by taking away their money? Money they shouldn't have, in my opinion. Last story before I wrap this segment up. Daily Mail. 2 weeks ago, Farmageddon. There's a title for you. Farmageddon. The Biden administration's European-style climate policies will jack up the cost for the U.S. farmer and leave families having to spend up to $1,300 more per year on costlier groceries. Good Lord. So the Buckeye Institute, which is a lot like the Alabama Policy Institute up in Ohio, they say that diesel, propane, and fertilizer costs are going to rise thanks to government climate measures. Says federal policymakers are pursuing expensive climate control and emission policies that have already failed in Europe, and the American farm and the household is going to be required to pay for them. Climate activists say, this is important, because climate activists, they know all about farming. Agriculture takes a toll on the environment. You know what else takes a toll on the environment? Dead bodies in the streets who die of starvation because farmers couldn't farm. How about that? Thanks to pesticides and fertilizers and the release of methane by livestock and other planet-heating gases from tractors and trucks and combines, we need to lower the emissions. Here's what they did. The Buckeye Institute did a study, and they did a notional model. They created the hypothetical corn farm, and they had to make that corn farm then in their study abide by all the new federal environmental regulations. Says climate control policies pushed up the cost thereafter of nitrogen fertilizer, diesel, propane by 34% overall. Oil and gas producers, chemical companies, the American farm, they're going to all shoulder a compliance burden, but they're going to pass it on to us. If that were to happen, what would the corn cost? What would it do to us? You're looking at things like American cheese would now cost a staggering 78% more. Other pantry basics like beef and rice and chicken and eggs, 36%. Beef, 70% more. All this to say, y'all, God made a farmer. He made him for a reason. He made him because the earth is subject to our rule. And we can be good stewards, absolutely be good stewards. But we can't forget that those out there who are row cropping and raising chickens and cattle, we need them. And the idea that we're going to regulate them into non-existence, who does that hurt? Not just them, it hurts all of us. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.